And thank you, Bob, for the reading. And if you'll come forward, we're going to prepare for the communion service. The communion service is kind of nice in a way that we are able to participate in the Lord's Supper because we'll have the full Easter story here today as we were reading about His crucifixion and then with the resurrection. So what I'd like to do for just a moment by way of introducing the Lord's Supper is again explain about the Passover lamb in the book of Exodus. Moses is getting the people ready to come out of the land of Egypt. And there's been some spectacular and horrible plagues on the Egyptians. And now we've come to the final one. And with this particular plague, to prevent the Jews from going through the death of this plague, they had to find a perfect lamb. They had to find a perfect lamb that there was no external blemishes. They had to find a perfect lamb that wasn't sick, deformed in any way, shape, or form. It had to be perfect. They were to then take this lamb and they were to protect it, keep it in the house, ensuring its perfectedness for 4 days. And then at the end, they were to kill the lamb. They were to brush the blood on the exterior and on the top, on the exterior, the top and the sides of the door. They were to cook the lamb over a fire. They were to eat it with their clothes on and eat it quickly. And then with that, they literally went out of the land of Egypt. This Passover lamb, as I mentioned, was salvation from death. Exodus chapter 12, you can read it on the screen there. It says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment, for I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." And that's the term that we use even this day, the Passover. "And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Every living firstborn, man, woman, or animal, was under the sentence of death. And to be saved from that sentence of death, you had to kill this Passover lamb and sprinkle the blood, as I said, on the exterior of the door. Those who took the blood were saved. Those who didn't use the blood were destroyed. Not only did this Passover lamb provide salvation from death, but it provided salvation from bondage. For in the middle of that night, with great haste, they left the bondage that had enslaved them for over 400 years. And when they left Egypt, those of you who remember maybe some of those Sunday school lessons, they didn't leave empty-handed, but they left with the riches of Egypt. God not only powerfully delivered them, but He enriched their lives in every way. They were leaving the land of bondage and they were heading towards the land, as the scripture says, that flowed with milk and honey. Jesus Christ was our Easter Passover lamb. It was His crucifixion that saved us from death spiritually. It was His crucifixion that saved us from the power of sin. So as we partake of these elements, these are just symbolic representations. We believe clearly that salvation is by grace through faith. It's not found in any sacrament. So if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and as you participate in the cracker, which is a symbolic representation of His Lord's broken body for us, we can rejoice and the salvation from death and the salvation from bondage that this table represents, that He provided for us. And then also the grape juice, which is a symbolic representation of our Lord's shed blood, because as we know in Leviticus and also in the New Testament, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Since there is a sentence of death because of sin, someone had to die. And we can rejoice and thank God for the death that He died for us in our place. So we, Josh, I need you up here for a minute. It's okay, it won't hurt. Yeah, come on up. I have a gift for the children here. And we were going to do it a little different, but for the sake of time, what Josh is going to do is while I talk, he's going to go around, and hand out candy to the children whose parents are going to say it's okay. So, you can give the candy to the children, just make your way down there and bring it back when you're done. Now, that's just a time saver, so you are going to now pay attention to me unless you're a child, right? John the Baptist, in St. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 29, when he saw Jesus at the beginning of his earthly ministry, he said, as Jesus is coming to him, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Now, we have to ask ourselves, because it's really a very important question as we celebrate this Easter holiday, why did Jesus Christ have to die on the cross? And if we were to ask most everybody, and I ask many people that as well, what do you think the typical response is why Jesus Christ died on the cross?
To save us from our sins.
Very good. To save us from our sins. And we hear many variations of that, but in essence, that is the right answer, to save us from our sins. Well, we have to first of all then start thinking about sins, and then we have to start thinking about us. Because many times, us is like maybe sometimes somebody else. And then we also have to think about, well, if he died, then like really why did he have to die? And again, the answer is, well, to save us from our sins. But then we keep pushing that issue a little bit further, and that is because he then maybe did something for us that maybe we could not do. So what I'd like to do is just take, and it's a little different resurrection sermon, because we're not really necessarily going to dwell on that, but I want to just look at the New Testament example of the Passover lamb. And we kind of looked at the Old Testament Passover lamb as we did our communion service. And now I'd like to look at Jesus Christ as our Passover lamb, as John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." And I'd like to show us how the Passover lamb in the Old Testament saved the Jews from bondage and also the firstborn from death. And in the New Testament, Jesus Christ, being the Passover lamb, can also save us from death and also from bondage. Спасибо. For those of you who don't speak Russian, thank you. Now, why did he die? We're going to look at a couple references here as to why he died. The first one is found in Romans chapter 6, 23. Why did Jesus Christ have to die? The wages of sin is death. How many of you got paid Friday? Some did. Glad you got paid? Was that a gift that your boss so lovingly and graciously bestowed upon you? And you're laughing. Man, I worked for that money. I worked my tail off for that money. I put up with all kinds of garbage for that money. I earn that money. Now, you see it up there on the screen there. The wage of our sin is what? Death. And you're all saying, yes, we understand that the grave or the cemeteries are full of them. I mean, who thinks that they're going to find this elixir or fountain of life and we're going to live forever? We're all going to die. Ah, but did you know that the Bible speaks of two deaths? Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, otherwise you can look up at the screen here. Revelation 20:15 says, "And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." And the next sentence says what? The second death. "And anyone found not written in the Lamb's book or the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And that second sentence says that is the second death. So yes, my body, being 52 years old, is decaying. And I know a little bit more what Paul writes when he says the outward man decays day by day. moment by moment, but the inner man is to be renewed. So I understand this body will die. But what about the internal person, the spirit, the soul? What makes you you? What makes you different than everybody else? What about that? The body dies, but what about the spirit? Well, again, Romans 6:23 says the wage, that which we earn, that which we work for, that which we deserve is death. And yes, the physical body will die, but here we've got something new now. Now we've got death and hell being cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And anyone's name who's not found written in that book of life would be cast into the lake of fire. Let me describe that just a little bit for you in the previous chapter, chapter 19, verse 20. And it says, these two are cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Revelation 20:10 talks about, and they are being tormented how long? Forever and ever and ever. So again, how long is that? That is a long time. Now, if our name is not found written in the book, and again, you can appreciate, I understand you all have family you want to go to and meals, so I am really truncating or reducing or compressing this. But I would encourage you to go to the back of your Bible, Revelation, and just further think through some of this. But the point is that if we are not, as Jesus said in John, born again, there is going to be two deaths. Our body will die. If our name is not written in that book of life, our spirit will die. And it doesn't die like our body will, in that it ceases to exist. The death that the Bible refers to is being cast into this lake of fire, where there is going to be torment nonstop forever and ever and ever. That is a long time without end. Revelation 21:18, and some people can say, ha ha, yeah, we're talking about the child molesters or about this 21-ish or so man who raped and beat a 40-some-year-old lady, as I heard on the news. Boy, I love coming back to America and hearing all this news. And he was just found here not too down in Philly somewhere and arrested for killing this 40-some-year-old woman. I don't do that. Now, those kind of people, they deserve to go to hell. But me, man, I pay my taxes. I'm good to my wife. I'm good to my children. I work hard. I don't lie, cheat, steal. But look at, again, what we have here in Revelation 21:8. The cowardly. The cowardly are going to have that second death. The unbelieving are going to have a second death. Abominable, yeah, those are the really bad guys. The murderers, oh yeah, they deserve it. The sexually immoral, sure, they deserve it. Sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. So, what about those little white lies that we've told? Any of you ever told a white lie? Now, where in the Bible do we get the distinction between the white lie and the black lie? I mean, how many of us have never lied? I can't do that. I can't do that either. Now, if we are a liar, and again, notice the qualification. It doesn't say liar in 500,000 times. If you've lied, you're also going to have part in that second death. So man will die physically. And again, in that first slide that we saw with the paycheck and the gift, the wages of your sin, that which you have earned, that which you deserve, that which you have put up with in all of your works, the wage of that sin is death. Now we come to Easter. And this is the good news. Because why did Christ die? And then again, more importantly, why did Christ rise again from the dead? And that is the last part of that verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, blood was required in the Old Testament. That lamb had to be killed. And blood is required in the New Testament. The Lamb of God needed to be killed. God demonstrated, though, in Romans 5:8, His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was able to lead a young gal to the Lord in the Ukraine. John and I were there. And the neat thing about it was, is I was passing out almost this exact same candy. I was at school, and we were allowed to speak in the English classes at the public school. Small auditorium filled, 50, 60 kids, 2 hours, two different times. As they were leaving, I also had candy, and I was handing it to the kids as they were leaving, and one girl didn't take it. So I got my hand out. Actually, I didn't have my hand out. I was dumping candy in the hands as they were going out the door, and she said, "No, thank you," because they were English-speaking class, Americans speaking English. I said, "Are you sure?" She said, "Yes." Well, everybody else is pushing her, trying to go to the other class, so I let her go. Well, then she came to church, and as we were sitting downstairs in one of the classrooms, I said, "You know what? Salvation is just like that candy I offer to you." And which, by the way, Josh, did any kids here not want a piece of candy? One. Here we go. Another child who did not want a piece of candy. Now, that may have been mother's design. But nevertheless, the candy was offered, but it was not taken. God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So here's what happened that 2,000 some years ago, a little less. Jesus Christ died on the cross, paying the penalty for your sin through His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And He is offering salvation so you don't have to die that second death. Where was that second death? What kind of a lake was it? Lake of fire. And how long was that burning going to continue? Day and night, forever and ever and ever. Well, His death is just like this beautiful goldish-colored Hershey candy bar. He offered it to everyone. But there are many people who don't want it. Now, because they don't want it, they don't believe it, or any number of things, does not mean that the offer is genuine. Nor does it mean if you don't want it that when you die you're going to get it. If you don't want it, you're not going to have it. So here's what I would just encourage you folks to realize, that the death, the burial, and the resurrection is what Easter is all about. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Now what that means is that my wage of sin is death. Remember, somebody has to die. And we could allow Jesus Christ to die on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin, or we will have that second death, remember? In that lake of fire which burns forever and ever. Now, as you remember the previous slide, it said, "And whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That was the second death. So my question to you would be, how do you know for sure, or do you know for sure, that your name is written in that book of life? Or, said a little differently, has there been an internal spiritual birth? It is true, I know sometimes born again is kind of a negative term that people say, "Oh, you're not one of those born again Christians, are you?" Well, Jesus said it Himself in John's Gospel, John chapter 3. He looked at a man by the name of Nicodemus and He says, "Marvel not when I say unto you," how does the rest of that verse go, folks? "You must be born again." And Nicodemus says, "Man, you're crazy. How can me as a grown man, can I enter my mother's womb a second time?" And Jesus says, "Nicodemus, Nicodemus, I'm not talking about a second physical birth. You were born once physically. Now you need to be born again spiritually." See, and this is why Jesus Christ died and was resurrected again that third day, so that He could offer to us that second birth. And let me explain it this way, and then I just got a few questions, we'll be done. Everyone is born physically once. If we are not born spiritually once, then we will die twice. Our bodies will die and they will decay. And we've had many funerals even this year as we go to the grave. And we do say, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, Ecclesiastes, and the dust or the bodies or the dust shall return to the earth from whence it came, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So the body does return to the earth. But if you're not born the second time, then from the slide we saw there in Revelation, there's that second death. And that's just not a cessation of existence, that's eternity in hell. Or we could be born once physically and then be born a second time spiritually, and then we will only die once because our bodies will die. But when we stand before Him, He will be our Lord and our Savior, saving us from that penalty in hell forever, and we can enjoy eternity in heaven. That's this gift that He's offering to us. It's a gift. Now, how many of these children worked for this gift, earned it, or deserved it? None. How many of you kids knew that you were going to get it prior to a few minutes ago? You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. And coming into the auditorium, you didn't even want it because you didn't even know it. Gifts and wages. Wages are things that you do, you work for, going to church, being baptized, taking communion, etc., etc., etc. Those are things you work for. That's not a gift. A gift is a goofy piece of candy that is given with no strings attached. Mike didn't work for it, he didn't deserve it, and he can't find it either. My throw is just a little off. But the point is made. So, here's my question. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you been born that second time? If not, let me just tell you quickly how to do it. You need to believe that you're a sinner. And probably your spouse or someone sitting next to you could say, yeah, we all know that. Secondly, you need to believe that you are in need of someone to save you. You cannot work for yourself. The wage, what you earn, what you work for, all the acts of whatever you go through, religious or otherwise, the wage of that is what? It's death. But it's the gift of God is eternal life. So you need someone to save you because you cannot save yourself. And that's so important about the cross. Why did Jesus Christ die? Because He did something we cannot do. And we cannot save ourselves from our sins. Yes, we can be punished for our sins for eternity, but we cannot save ourselves. We need to believe that Jesus Christ and Him alone died to save you from your sins, and by faith, just receive that gift of salvation. So heads bowed, eyes are closed, nobody looking around. Let me ask you this. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you been born that second time? Or, said differently, do you know for sure that your name is written in that book of life? Or, said a little differently, if you were to stand and die, go to heaven, and Jesus was to meet you at the pearly gates, and He were to say, Dan Scogan, or your name, why should I let you into heaven? What would be your response? And if you have any first-person pronouns, you might be in a lot of trouble. In other words, using the word I. Because then it goes back to then, well, why then would Jesus have to die on the cross? If we're up there giving Christ this lofty reason full of I and I, well, I went to church and I got baptized and I did acts of contrition and I said prayers and I, then why did Christ have to die on that cross?